Why, hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going? It's me. It's the Franchise MC, and welcome to the arena featuring the Franchise MC, only on Gabnet, the Great American Broadcast Network. It is Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Western, which is why you are hearing my voice right now, and we will be together for approximately the next hour. The arena is a place where we can battle it out over whatever sports topics we feel like. If you would like to join our citizen panel, we generally record around 7:45, 8 o'clock Eastern, 4:45, 5 o'clock Western. Head on over to gabnet.net, click on the Zoom logo on the right-hand side. That'll connect you into the waiting room. You can see us on Zoom. We can see you. It's fantastic. That's the best way for you to be a part of our citizen panel. However, if you cannot join us when we record, we get it. Life does happen, and people have schedules. So if you have any questions, feedback, concerns, what have you, about our show, if you have concerns about the show, just keep them to yourself. We don't give a fuck. We don't care. But if you have any questions or comments or anything like that, or concerns that you want to phrase in the form of questions or comments, that's perfectly fine. You can reach out facebook.com/thefranchisesarena. You can email thefranchisemc30@gmail.com or hit me up on the X. Franchisemc30 is my handle on there. But again, Zoom's the best way, because my hope is that this can be a sports show where we do get to include everyone. Whether you are a diehard sports fan with some tattoos to prove it, maybe you are just a Karen who wants to complain about something, and I guess we won't exclude you because we do want to include everybody. So whatever it is that you'd like, we'd like to be able to provide that for you. So join us, why don't you? All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, the gentleman with the greatest introduction in sports internet radio history. It is once again my pleasure to present to you all the one, the only, The Blake Show.
Well, it's The Blake Show.
He is back again. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, my man.
Excellent.
Just in the middle of inventory.
There.
You know how that goes.
Yep. Yeah.
Beautiful. Hey. Beautiful. Numbers are beautiful to me.
Except when you're counting and then you get one off and you can't remember if you've skipped a number or not and you got to start all the way over. Yeah.
Or you're like, did I count 23 12 packs or did I count 24?
Yep.
Let's start again.
Exactly. Exactly.
And let's do the math again.
There it is. We were talking. We were trying to see if we possibly could plan a trip up there before the start of the school year, even just a quick thing. And so we were trying to work it out. Hollywood graciously offered us to stay at his place to save us some money too. So we are not going to be able to make it because I guess he's doing inventory as well.
His work sucks.
Okay.
They do it every month.
Oh, okay.
Do it every 3 months and it sucks.
Okay. Okay. So
that makes
sense, because we were trying to see if we could make it work, and then he remembered. Not only did he remember that he had inventory, but then he was texting when I was telling him we were kind of talking about it, and we're going to try and push it a little bit longer, maybe into September, late August, early September. So we're planning a trip up there over the next couple of months. But when I texted him when we were texting about it, and I was letting him know that was kind of our plan, he texted me back that he realized that it was also his anniversary weekend. And he had totally forgot about it. And I said, hey, well, at least it's good that you remembered. And
ahead of time. No, well, he's calling you. He's probably calling you the savior.
No,
I didn't even think about it.
No, that was the best part, because I texted him saying, hey, well, you know, it's a good thing that you remembered. And he's all, no, dude, I heard her over on the phone talking with her mom about it. And that was what reminded him that it was their anniversary. So I will definitely.
It's funny because him and I are both Libras, one day apart.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So the audience knows. So my wife tells me all the time, I go, fuck, is my mom's birthday on the 26th? The 27th? Is my dad's on the. Because my dad and my mom are with, like, the dates are within a couple days,
okay,
but in different months.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, when you grow up in a household that your parents don't celebrate their birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a momentous occasion or anything like that.
Yeah, as a child, you forget the fucking date.
For sure.
And my wife is all, they have this thing on your phone. It's called reminders.
a calendar?
Calendar? I know. And I'm like, I don't use a calendar.
Who's got time for that? Yeah.
And then my wife just quizzed me. What's your mom's birthday?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
What's your dad's birthday?
Yep.
And I'm like, I know my dad's is March, like 25th. And
I know it's these two days and these two months and these 2 days in those months. So it could be four outcomes. We could be looking at any of those four outcomes. Let's just sell it. So yeah. So
that's a Libra trait
for sure. So I'll definitely keep you posted when we finalize the weekend. But we were after the fact when he said that sounds like a great plan. We also figured that because of the fact that we're pushing it a couple weeks out further, we'll have football season when we come up, so we'll be able to spend Sunday hanging out and eating and watching football and
of course
talking a bunch of shit.
Of
so
as long as it's not you can check in with, but I think the week before my birthday and
okay.
his birthday
okay
I'm flying to Arkansas
okay.
for the whole week.
Okay.
I think the 17th of September.
That's the nice thing. We're flexible since we're not doing it. We're not trying to squeeze it in before the start of the school year. So since we're flexible, we can take a Friday and a Monday off and it'll work out perfectly fine. So we'll be in communication and we'll plan around it.
My wife leaves itineraries on the printer for me to read. So we fly out on the 14th.
Cool. Okay.
At 5 a.m.
Okay, perfect. Well, we will plan.
Which is the Monday.
We'll plan around that then, and we'll be up there before the end of the year for sure. All right. Well, let's jump into the sports world as NFL training camps are happening right now. And one figure who is now present but was noticeably absent from the 49ers early on was their head coach, one Kyle Shanahan. And it was announced that his absence was due to a car accident and a rather severe car accident. Now that we are getting word from him, he said that he accepted responsibility for the car accident, which occurred 2 weeks ago, July 14th, that has left him limited. So he said that he took his eyes off the road briefly to find his phone after it fell in between the seats, which caused him to cross the double lines into oncoming traffic and crash into an SUV. After the fact, it was announced that he was going to be okay, even though he was fairly injured in a somewhat severe car accident. But apparently, his injuries fairly severe because he almost apparently lost an eye. They almost needed to do surgery. He said that it almost the incident almost cost him an eye. But he is there.
Saw the picture. Imagine if he comes out looking like Skeletor and he talks to the team like, "I am invincible. You are invincible."
Is Brian Robinson Jr. still there? Is he still in there? I gotta look it up and see if Brian Robinson.
I think he is.
Let's see. Robinson.
I haven't seen anything about him getting traded.
No, it says Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so he is the Tyler Allgeier. Because I was gonna say, I know they joked about it before, but it would have been great if he was still on the team and he, Ricky Pearsall, and Kyle Shanahan came out to 50 Cent's Many Men to kind of lead the team out from the gate. And of course they do need to look dangerous coming out of the gate in week one, as their matchup has them against the Los Angeles Rams. However, the game is being played in Australia, so it will not be your standard week one matchup between the 49ers and the Rams, as they are going international for week one to Australia.
Which is good. in a sense for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
us, we understand. It's like, why is London always Jacksonville versus like Carolina
yes. Yes.
or something? And like
for
two
sure.
shit teams.
Yeah.
Like we're not putting the best product forward.
Right.
And unfortunately, you and I talk about this every single week. It's a fucking business.
Uh-huh.
So for your business and my business, we have two different things. So if you put the courtesy clerks as the face of something,
mm-hmm.
the guys that push carts mm-hmm. and bag groceries, every once in a while, you might have somebody that is like just doing it as an introduction to what they're doing.
Mm.
We're done with that. They've already shown that they will spend money to come watch American football in their country.
I think what you were alluding to is you wouldn't showcase your cart boys and your courtesy clerks over your employee that ran into the burning building and rescued
and
those
saved a life. Or the guy that could throw a football 100 yards.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't think any of my courtesy clerks can do anything more than get 5 carts in an hour.
And I do think
a lot.
And I think to your point, I think the NFL with them expanding and doing Mexico and doing Spain, I think they've done Spain now and Germany and all of the different places. I think that's
Didn't
kind
they
of
do Brazil.
I think they did Brazil.
Did they do Brazil
yes,
too?
Yes, because that was because the Packers and the Eagles, because they couldn't wear their regular jerseys or something because of a gang color or something like that down there. So they had to wear like the special uniforms for week one. But yeah, so I think to your point, I think that's and this the Rams versus the Niners, especially now and in recent years, has been one of those marquee matchups in the NFL. So you can see that before I think they were kind of holding on to when they hadn't necessarily like established the international market and realized like, hey, people are going to be willing to shell out the money to go to games internationally. I think they were kind of holding on to the fact that the Jaguars are like
but the other thing too is the stadiums in Europe and in these other countries hold so many much more.
Yeah.
Even if you charge 10% less
face
value on what you would charge in America, if the volume is higher than the actual number, you're actually making a lot more. So put something somebody wants to watch.
Very much
and
so.
Then you have – it's this thing. It's like with the Savannah Bananas. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You and I love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them in a market where people can see them, they're instantly an attraction.
Right.
They're so much better than, oh, yeah, I saw a couple clips on YouTube. No, did you watch them live?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And you got to give the people the opportunity to do that, and a lot of these other countries are the thing is the world soccer dominant.
Mm-hmm.
It really is,
and in a lot of these other places, those are the stadiums like you're talking about that they're playing in are the soccer stadiums that are 90, 100, 120, 150,000 people.
So I mean, mm-hmm. and just imagine what you are helping that economy do, because
for
if
sure.
you bring that in and the government says, hey, you got to give us 5% of all tickets,
uh-huh.
ticket sales.
Yeah. Yep. No,
you're
1 million percent.
It's
1 million.
Simple.
Percent.
And then you go,
and not to mention
€12 a beer.
And
well, €12 is like $15 in America. So
yeah, and all of the jersey and shirt sales and everything like that from the people. That, so no, it definitely is. So it makes way too much sense to put the marquee matchups together more. So again,
I know it just sucks. It just sucks because for us and Hollywood and the Rams, we're in a tough fucking division.
Right.
And, we don't want to go play overseas right now.
And I don't know who the quote unquote home team is, but that team in essence loses a home game for the season. So I don't know if maybe they finagled it, since there are now 17 games in the season, that if they finagled it so that that team, that's they had 9 home games instead of 8, 9 and 8 there, so that they would have
because
really
you and I both know
8.
They have to play against the conference twice.
Yes.
Anybody in the conference, they have to play twice.
And as a Niner fan, I mean, there's a reason that they call SoFi Stadium, what is it? What's the name of the Niner Stadium? Levi Stadium South. That I was blanking on.
Levi Stadium South.
Levi Stadium South.
Levi Stadium.
Yeah. So I mean, depending on who the home team is. Yeah, that's, and it's a huge home and when you can also minimize that, as the 49ers do, by traveling in such great numbers down to SoFi Stadium, that when you can limit that, I mean, again, it's a lot more of a neutral, I would imagine, stadium in Australia, but still, you know, it does impact on some levels the overall, like you said, of the season, having to play twice and having one of your home games against a tough opponent be in much more of a neutral stadium than your home field. So
yeah, and so I mean, I get what you're saying too about them having, if the Rams are the home team, they got to play in Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm.
If we're the home team, we have to play at SoFi, which I'm not really worried about, because the Rams with McVay versus Shanahan knows what McVay's thinking. Yeah. Almost all the time.
All their matchups are very, very good. They're very good games.
And it's
looking...
like one of those things. It's like, I know when I'm at work, if I don't have enough hours of labor to get everything on the shelf, but I have everything in the back room to get on the shelf. I just don't have enough personnel to do it.
For
and
sure.
See, that's the thing. If they go out there first week, the Niners usually always start out pretty hot. They usually...
Uh-huh.
Kyle Shanahan, but with his diminished capacity right now.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And I do.
Do you wonder what he's really thinking about?
Yeah.
Like, in the sense, I don't think he ever doesn't think about football.
Right. But
in
when
concepts
you're.
Concepts or schemes.
But when you're in his condition. So his condition, per Adam Schefter, reported that he broke his nose, 3 ribs, and his hand. He needed more than 40 stitches to his face and suffered a severe concussion. So it does say that while his concussion is serious, he never lost consciousness or had amnesia about the incident. So he stayed conscious and he was coherent and understood what was going on and where he was and everything the whole time. But again, with that amount of injuries, when you're just battling the pain, like focusing on football is not necessarily something, and was evident by the fact that he did turn over control of the first practice, and the fact that he wasn't there, to his assistant head coach. But obviously he has full faith in his coaches and everything to be able to step up in his absence. And according to what I saw, the assistant head coach took it really seriously, and he was very, the team responded in the practice that he led yesterday. So we will see. And just quickly on Sean McVay was quoted yesterday when asked about Aaron Donald. He did say that his workouts are going well, and that he's doing well, but still nothing has been decided as far as a comeback. But apparently it was noted that he did say that all of this with a sly smile on his face. So I think the Niners may be clear of Aaron Donald for week 1 of the NFL season, because I don't know even right now if in being as great a condition as he is, if he'll be in quite, you know, football ready condition, not having, you know, done any actual practicing or anything like that. But it is possible, maybe maybe later on down the line that they will have him for their second matchup if it is that he does come out of retirement. Hollywood's already called his shot. 1 year, $13 million is the contract that he thinks Aaron Donald is going to sign with the Rams. So if that happens, we will have to give him his flowers for that call.
It will probably be something in that range if he's going to come back, but it's the same thing in listening to LeBron. Is that the man took a break. LeBron gets to take a break every, six games?
Something like
games,
that, yeah. Whenever he decides he needs to take one off.
Yeah, and which is fine.
Yeah.
But with Aaron Donald, he took a year off.
I think it was two, because I think
So we're at 2 years, but the man is that's not the guy you roll up to at the gym,
right?
And he's squatting 800 pounds. And you're like, yeah, let me try that.
Can I try that before you put the weights back, bro? Yeah. And
no, exactly.
And to your point, as we've talked about, we've made the point before, if there is also a position where you could possibly take 2 years off and still stay in good physical shape as Aaron Donald has, it's the guy that gets to just chase after the guy with the football. You're not a,
I heard someone else say that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Can you guess?
No. Who are you?
He wore the number 7.
Oh, are you talking about Kaepernick? Yeah. So there you go. So,
and he actually came out and put some shit on show.
Well,
that was like, whoa, maybe this guy can play. And
on
then
the
you watch
yeah, on
the guys.
Practice field. That's how long our show has been. We talked about that, and as we talked about, you know, it ultimately being a large thing with the lack of skill that he has, as was demonstrated as the league figured out, if you just make him think about having to pass the ball past his first read, he's just going to take off and run, so you can just have your defense collapse after that point, and he's not going to be able to hurt you aside from a big play every now and then when somebody falls asleep or whatever it is. But yeah, that's I mean, the thing is with that,
but that's the only difference, is because Aaron Donald, if I saw him in a parking lot and I was 350 pounds and he was mad at me, I would still run.
Yes, very much so. And
that man would fucking run me over.
And to your point, as far as physical condition too, I mean, I think if you go back and you look at the Colin Kaepernick film that he did put out when he did that, the training thing on the high school field or the college field, wherever it was that was the thing. He also looked noticeably smaller compared to what he played at when he was the bowling ball kind of running quarterback. And that's not the situation with Aaron Donald at all. Aaron Donald still looks like he's worked out, just not quite to the extreme of his football condition.
Like I said, he's like the LeBron.
Yeah.
He just said, hey, I'm going to take some time off. And then he realized, hey, my body isn't deteriorating at all. Uh-huh. I'm a fucking specimen of this world.
Maybe I want to come back and try and get another ring.
Few.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I mean, not a bad team to do it with.
Nope.
And I hate I fucking hate the Rams. Don't get me wrong. I hate them.
For sure.
I'm supposed to hate them.
That's
but it's not illogical.
No.
For him to come back and want another ring.
It's the most. And that situation makes the most amount of sense. And again, it wasn't like he left due to injury or anything like you said. He just felt like he needed to take a break because he didn't have that fire to go out there and stay in that game shape and do all of what he needed to do to be there. So, I mean, again.
And sometimes when you get those gold rings, it's okay, I got it. Uh-huh. I made it
to the top of the mountain.
His accomplishments speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't get named Defensive Player of the Year that many times. You don't you're not the sack leader that many times in a year.
Yeah.
Like, you won Super Bowls.
And that's the thing. No one's going to be able to say he was one of those great players that never was able to win a ring because he did it. So, yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense to with so many players playing past when they should be quitting and winding up with CTE and all of that stuff. It made perfect sense for him to walk away when he did. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely nobody's going to be shocked if the Rams announce that he's signing a one-year contract with them to come out of retirement. No one is going to be shocked.
No. I wouldn't be shocked in the least bit.
No. Speaking though,
we've seen it a few times.
Mm-hmm. Let's segue off of what you were talking about in the comparison to Aaron Donald. We didn't have the information on the show last week, but it has been announced LeBron James's next destination. And while there was some talk that he may want to embrace his friendships with Steph Curry and Draymond Green after the fact, it does seem like there was never really any kind of consideration whatsoever aside from a like, hey, wouldn't it be cool? Yeah, it might be cool.
As soon as they said rekindle his relationship with Draymond Green and Steph Curry, and then they announced that he's going to Philadelphia, was just one of those things that you knew. Like, once the media said that, oh, yeah, Draymond and Steph are all behind LeBron coming.
Yeah, and are willing to try and make moves according to what they needed to do to try and get him here.
Yeah, no, and it was a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Warriors tried.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they didn't try to offer up a package or anything like that.
Well, and clearly
in your honest mind, you watch basketball. Mm-hmm. I watch basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I right now honestly would rather go play with Maxey and Embiid
for sure.
And maybe get one other piece.
Well, and they got Jaylen Brown. So he is the other piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Piece.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what I mean, the Warriors were trying to get their piece, and they just don't. The thing with the Warriors that sucks is that they're almost like the Giants sometimes, where they depend on the AAA to bring their players to get them up to par. And then you bring them up to the big league.
Uh-huh.
And what happens? They shit the bed.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Or something happens. And for these teams, it's about the draft stock. It's about the capital they have, the young players they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't just go out and get an old player.
Right.
And give up the young starts you have. You want to bring an older player in with something that statistically the 76ers are a fucking good team.
Yeah.
If they can keep the fucking players on the floor.
And that's what it
can't keep anybody on the floor.
Namely Joel Embiid, their superstar.
LeBron takes the pressure. Him and Jaylen take the pressure away from Embiid sitting out there and running around like an old, he looks like an old withered man, but the guy can fucking hit shots from anywhere on the court.
Totally. Which he's great, very productive when he's still out there for sure, but he has a problem with being able to stay out there. So I saw a thing that it says, you know, you could get the full gambit with the 76ers this season, because if Embiid and LeBron stay relatively healthy and are out there together, you could have it looking really, really great. But if they're dinged up, but they're not, you know, severely hurt, that things could look really, really ugly with them out there. So we just until the basketball starts happening and we see it, we're, I mean,
we've his plan before, Mark, mm-hmm. is you try to create a super team.
Yeah.
And you have no bench.
Yeah.
You have nobody that can come in and relieve him for
For sure.
5-10 minutes. Let them get their legs back and let them come out and do what they do and dominate.
Yeah.
So I think the 76ers plan is we got to come and put like 80 points out by halftime.
Yeah. So we can, then we can kind of rest and coast in the second half. No, I think,
exactly. That's my opinion to the whole trade.
Yeah.
Is that we think we can dominate the first half,
mm-hmm.
and you go into the locker room, you get your rest. Coaches tell you, oh, they're leaning, or, you know, and I'm just going to use a figure. They're leaning on Ja Morant too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in the paint. He's going to score a lot of points, and we need to score more points in the first half so that when he scores his points, it doesn't really affect us.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to get into super big foul trouble because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is because Embiid doesn't really get in foul trouble because he's never under the fucking basket.
Yeah.
Hardly ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's hardly ever in the paint. It's always the power forward on their team that's doing something,
mm-hmm.
because they want him based at the 3-point line. So if the opponent's team misses, you got a fucking almost 7'5" with wingspan.
Yeah.
Guy you just throw the ball to. He's like a satellite antenna.
Yeah.
And throw it.
For sure. Know. For sure. For the, and at the very least, you're putting the defense back on their heels so that you're going to get a really good, easy look fairly quickly once the rest of your players come down. If he doesn't just take it to the hole and shoot it or make a three, because he's fully capable of hitting from the outside too. I do want to also announce that the new LeBron jersey for the 76ers, it set a record. Fanatics announced on Wednesday that James's number 23 Sixers jersey is officially the best-selling jersey ever for a player in the forced 48 hours after their announcement, which surpasses the previous record set by Shohei Ohtani when he joined the Dodgers back in December of 2023. It doesn't have the exact number here, but it does say that was the record. And it says that apparently many of the outlets, including Fanatics' website, have actually sold out of the jersey. So, you know, if Fanatics doesn't even have the ability to fulfill the order right now, that is how popular the jersey was, because that's pretty crazy.
Here comes the spam text messages.
Uh-huh. Well,
from all the jersey companies. Oh, we got one. It's not the real one.
Right.
But we got it.
For sure. For sure.
And every once in a while, you're going, wow, why is that jersey $24 and that one's $185?
Uh-huh.
You're like, ah. I'll take the $24 one this time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's only traded teams how many times? 5 now?
Four? Let's see. He started in Cleveland, went to Miami, Cleveland, back to Cleveland, Miami, to LA.
Cleveland.
Now, yeah. So this is his fifth with 2 stops in Cleveland.
Like I'm saying, it's like us real sports fans, we go, man, we love you, but you're not taking my Joe Montana jersey off the shelf because you played for one team. You know that whole thing is like once you're a superstar in the city hates to lose you.
Uh-huh.
You're a part of it. You're a breathing entity.
Oh, for sure. And especially when you are the talent that LeBron James is, for sure. But yeah, so I thought that was crazy. So we'll stay tuned and see what, if we can get the official numbers later on exactly how many of the jerseys were sold. Adding on in something that you said earlier with all of the, you know, going and trying to build the super teams and everything like that, Charles Barkley, no surprise, has been very, very vocal about LeBron and his decision. And he had a quote that said, LeBron stacked his team in Miami. He stacked it in Cleveland. He stacked it in LA. And now he's stacking it in Philly. He's always stacked his team in reference in the conversation. That's one of the points that people make in the GOAT conversation between LeBron and Jordan, is the amount of like top 10 or top 50 or 25, whatever it is, NBA players that he's had as teammates, as Jordan was basically just Scottie Pippen, and LeBron has had seemingly every player not named Steph Curry on the top 25 on his team.
And I can see why the Warriors were fantasizing about
doubt about it.
I mean, that would be an ideal, because
yeah,
that man would pull three people into the lane.
Yes.
And Steph Curry would be almost wide open with a pick every fucking single time.
I mean, it was in essence, you know, the Peyton Manning when he became a free agent after he left Indianapolis. Unless you absolutely had your answer for your entire team, like in Oklahoma City or something like that, why wouldn't you reach out and entertain the idea of adding one of the greatest players ever to play the game? Because there is really no downside, unless you think the circus that he brings with him would be considered a downside, especially as we covered, he wants to do kind of a documentary throughout this entire like last season process or last couple of seasons as he's winding down his career. But again, there's no downside on the basketball court to adding him.
I know, he's just, and I'm not mad at him mm-hmm. for being the father and realizing that his talent is artificial almost, I can say. Like it's something ungodly. I get why he wants to do the Netflix series about his last, he calls it his last journey. Is it his last journey? Or are we really surprised that someone that went to LA all of a sudden got starstruck on how easy it was to make money off of things like that? I mean, he's
Especially when the money doesn't matter anymore, as the, you know, his contract two years, $8 million with Philly.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that the money in the contract doesn't matter. Everything else matters because his family is taken care of for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
They have no worries. Like, if he died tomorrow, his whole entire family inherits all his Nike contracts.
Right. And to that point, he is now the highest paid player in NBA history in terms of salary accrued throughout his playing time, as at the end of the upcoming season. So his salary for this year is $3.8 million for the 76ers. But at the end of the year, he will have made $585 million just from his NBA contracts. It doesn't account to take into account the fact that I think it was like a $90 million contract that he signed with Upper Deck or with Topps when he first came out to just sign with them.
He has his own shoe with
his lifetime contract that they haven't even disclosed the amount of money, that the total amount. And to your point, looking at like, why wouldn't a team consider it with the amount of money that he's going to bring in? I saw figures that estimated that he is going to bring in between, I think it was like 260 and $430 million in economic stimulus to the greater Philadelphia area for his being there, for people coming in to watch him play, for the money and the businesses and things around the area that are going to get that uptick in their patronage because of the people coming for basketball games and otherwise. So again, there is absolutely, as we saw with the Dodgers saying that they've already basically made all of the money off of Shohei that they're going to pay him. You know, it's pretty a no-brainer why you wouldn't want to bring someone in just for the monetary alone, not even factoring in the basketball.
I mean, I work in retail too, and Mark, if I have something that blows the doors off the shelf and it costs $7-$8 for a gallon of milk, but it blows it off the shelf and
people are lined about the door to get it,
it's not rocket science. It's like when you put a good product in front of the people, it's basketball, football, all sports, baseball, everything. It's a consumer sport, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's a word of mouth sport.
Yeah.
If the word of mouth is good, like I was trying to say earlier, it's like the Savannah Bananas. It's like you can talk to people about it and they're like, oh yeah, I've seen a video on Savannah Bananas or whatever.
Mm.
No, when they become mainstream, they have people like us that wear their jerseys,
show up
at casinos, get asked if we're part of the talent.
Uh-huh.
Like that's not normal.
Uh-huh. And that's
the
yeah.
product is better than what is expected. And we as consumers, we enjoy that more. Uh-huh. I don't enjoy going to a basketball game and it's $50 to park, $125 for each ticket,
mm.
and $14 for a beer.
Mm.
Like you said, I'd much rather go watch the Savannah Bananas where I see something that's original, real, and I can feel the electricity in the room. I don't get that from basketball.
Uh-huh.
I don't get that from regular baseball. I get much more of the focused fan.
Uh-huh.
It's like you're either a Dodgers fan or a Giants fan.
Uh-huh.
at a Dodgers Giants game, you don't have too many choices. And when you see other things at the game, you're like, oh my god, that guy's a Marlins fan.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Or like you're like,
yeah,
does he know what ballpark he's in right
yeah,
now?
Or the teams that are playing on the field right now, for sure. Yeah.
You got a Ichiro jersey, which I ain't mad at because he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at
those ones you can get around. Yeah, it's the everyday player.
A Felix Hernandez shirt or something.
Yeah, a real Homer jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what the hype around and if this is LeBron James' last hurrah or if he does exercise the second year. I saw in a video earlier there was a stat that there are, I believe it's five quarterbacks in college in the NCAA that are slated to make more money this year playing college football than LeBron James will make for playing professional basketball with his $3.8 million salary. Five quarterbacks. That's how much the NIL market has affected players in college. Pretty incredible.
No, but we called it a disease to competitiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is because if you have someone that can go out there and stand and look like a politician, they're going to get the vote. The quarterback's going to get the vote. They're going to get the money.
Yeah.
The boosters are so happy about this because before it used to, how many times, Mark, you and I both know, how many times do we open up the ESPN or something and about 5-6 years ago before this NIL came out, and it was boosters caught red-handed giving athletes money.
Players like, got popped for getting free tattoo work for
and we can go all the way back to Reggie Bush. He got some pants and a track suit.
There, somebody else got help moving. Somebody paid their moving company fees for their family to move from wherever to move outside of wherever the college was. It has definitely changed that lens.
Well, we could talk about it because the blended fact that rational people will talk about that and go, well, that seems kind of odd. He's throwing a football, but we're going to pay $1 million for his parents to move across the country so that he'll throw a football. Like, you and I both go, God, I wish I was good at throwing football.
I wish I had started practicing earlier. Yeah.
Or like my biggest thing is I always step on my own toe and go, I'm good at golf. Why did I do all the other shit?
I know. Yeah, that's
why did I waste my time on soccer and basketball?
1,000,000,000%.
I love soccer. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no. It has absolutely not. It has nothing to do with taking away the joy of the sport. I think the exact same thing right now with myself in golf. You know, I'm not that great, but if I had started, and it's funny, Tom and I remember we used to go down. He had a cow pasture back behind his parents' house, and we would go down there and we would hit golf balls, but we would hit them with a baseball bat, not with actual golf clubs. So if we had just decided to grab a couple golf clubs instead.
I remember doing that at my middle school when I was like 12.
Nice.
And the first time I hit the house across the street from the school, I didn't do it anymore.
There you go. There you go. I did want to, before we end the show, since we just have a couple of minutes, in the upcoming Topps Chrome baseball card release that was released a couple days ago, there is one card that has become the chase for every collector. In the last series release, it was the Mickey Mantle 1951 rookie card. They put the redemption card in. This one is a card that features the two gold swatches, the logo men for Shohei Ohtani for his back-to-back MVP seasons that he has occurred the last two seasons with the Dodgers. And companies and people in an effort to try and be the owner of this card have started preemptively putting out ransoms for anyone who may find the redemption card in their Topps Chrome box. And the last I saw was that the bounty is now up to $13 million. Someone will pay you if you find the redemption of this card. No questions asked. They will give you $13 million for the card.
I'll be back next week, Mark.
There you go. Hey, I had a hobby box delivered earlier.
I know a place that sells them.
There you go. we had a hobby box delivered earlier today. So there's we were honestly I didn't know that they were putting that one in there. One of the other chases that will be in a lot of the or in some of the packs is the Major League Baseball players featured as minions from the Despicable Me series. So they will have like Paul Skeens and I think Shohei's in there too as minions. Aaron Judge is, and they've chosen different minions depending on like if like Aaron Judge, his minion is like tall and wide versus like Ronald Acuna, who's like the smaller, shorter minion. So so if we hit it in the hobby box, you will definitely know. I will be sending you a photo for sure.
Well, good luck for you, brother.
Hey, thank you. And I entered in to get one of those the Barry Bonds tribute boxes. I figured, fuck it, they're going for $1,000 on eBay right now. So if I didn't want to take a chance opening it, three autographs and three pieces of memorabilia per box. But if I didn't want to take a chance with opening it, I can turn around and sell it on eBay for $1,000 and make $400 off the box just like that. Pretty insane what the market is. All right. Well, that sound means we've made it through our time. Much love going out to your brother. I will see you next week. And if you could not join us, but you have something to say, again, we will be back same time next week. I encourage you to join us then. Please stay tuned for Alex Bennett's Ramble. He will be followed by The Intersection. I am your host, the Franchise MC. It has been a pleasure sharing the arena with you. And as always, I encourage you to live your life like it's a 3-in-1 count and swing for those fences. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.